Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
All right. So here we are. We're living in strange times. Can somebody say yes? Times are strange. You know, one of the things, and you know, I kind of talk about this particular topic maybe too often for some people. It just bothers me, I guess, and I think it should. Last week, about 12,000 women exercised their basic human right to seek help from women's reproductive health professionals. And they called it a social good. And that confuses me, because in the process, 12,000 babies died for the good of their mothers. We call that abortion. We call that evil. We're living in times that Isaiah said would come, Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We see, just based on my message from this morning, the reality that if you use human wisdom, you use worldly, the earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom that we see being used around, that, you know, just as James said, would come with confusion and every evil thing. We see it all around us. Something as obvious as gender is now totally confused in the culture. I mean, you know, people, even in the church, are confused. How should I think about this? How should I respond to this? How do I relate to this person? How do I communicate with this person who says to me he believes he is a woman? It is a confusing time. And we need God and his wisdom. Turn to your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. It was just a couple of weeks ago that our president celebrated the appointment of a man as the first female four-star admiral, just because this man says he thinks he's a woman. What's going on? What is going on that things like this can just go on and people act as if it is normal and right? And then for those who stand up against it and say, wait a minute, that's not right, and they are labeled as evil and as all sorts of bigot and, you know, all sorts of ugly names. When we try to do what is right, we try to stand for what is right, we try to do what is right. What's going on? You know, what we see going on today, Isaiah told us was going to happen 2,500 years ago, and then Paul is going to tell us in this text, he's going to explain it. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul. This is one of the signs that Jesus warned us would come before he returns for his church. And Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Now, brethren," that Paul is talking to believers in the church, "concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," he's referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ, "and our gathering together to him," I mean, there's going to be some gathering that's going to take place. We refer to that gathering as the rapture of the church. He says, "We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us," because it doesn't come from us, "as though the day of Christ had come," past tense. Don't act. Don't, you know, some are saying, some are writing, and some are saying that it's already happened. Jesus already come again the second time, and now you're living in the time after that. And he says, don't be easily shaken. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, you notice that day is capitalized, it's referring to the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, will not come unless a falling away, that falling away is the word where we get the word apostasy, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, that would be the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's saying that, you know, the church, you know, the church was going through persecution. And it was a time where the emperor worship was going on, and these different religions were taking court, and it's been going on forever, these kinds of things happening where, you know, at some point, these systems will turn against the church of God, and we're living in a time where we're having a bit of freedom to walk our faith, but that's not going to go on forever. There's going to come a time where we're resisted in our faith. And these churches were going through that. They were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing people resisting them, losing their jobs, losing their homes, you know, being cast out. All these different things were going on. And so they were, and then they were being told that, well, that's a sign that, you know, Jesus already came back and you're just living in the aftertime, that time of, you know, the judgment in essence. And he says, that's not what happened. That's not it. You know, before that happens, other things need to happen first. This great falling away, this great turning away from truth to lies, to the falseness. And we see in our culture, we see that happening. We see that. And it's not just the culture doing it. What he's talking about, the apostasy, is those who are in the truth turning away from truth. He's talking about the church. The church, there's going to be a large chunk of the church is going to turn away from the truth to follow a lie. And we see the signs of that. We see whole denominations already doing that. And he's also going to say the rise of this man is going to also come also. And it is the name, the person that will be identified. We don't know who he is. Will be identified as the Antichrist. He must rise before the day of the Lord. And we see that written very clearly in the book of Revelation, where he talks about this man of sin, this man of perdition, which is a man of destruction. He's going to rise. Verse 5. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now, now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed, he being the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. His time has not come yet, still hasn't come. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. 2,000 years ago, people were doing what they wanted, regardless of what was right, what was good. They were already doing that. They're just doing it that much more and more lawlessly. Whom the Lord will consume, whom will be the Antichrist, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the second coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And before the Antichrist comes, before he's revealed, and free to do what Satan is going to inspire him and then ultimately possess him to do, the Holy Spirit has to stop restraining him. Right now, the Holy Spirit is holding back evil. Now, we look around the world and say, oh, he's not doing a very good job of it. Yes, he is, because if he wasn't, it would be a lot worse. So worse that we can't even imagine how bad it will be. That's coming. And we'll see that. Actually, we won't see it. We're going to be watching it from above. That before that happens, the Holy Spirit has to stop restraining evil. And the Bible seems to indicate to us that can't happen as long as the church is in the world. And so as long as the church is in the world, the Holy Spirit is continuing to restrain evil. But once the church is taken out of this world and what we refer to as the rapture, then the Holy Spirit stops restraining evil and the Antichrist rises and all sorts of, literally, all hell breaks loose on the earth. God created everyone, He loves everyone he created, and he offers salvation to them for the penalty of their sins through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus on the cross is the truth of God's love. Jesus died to prove how much God loves all of us, everyone, every single person. It says, but they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not receive that love. They did not receive the reality that Jesus' death and the sacrifice is, it atones for their sin. And by believing that, they can be right with God. They can be forgiven of their sins, and they can experience the fullness of God's love. By rejecting Jesus, they have rejected God and his truth. They did not love the truth. Therefore, tells us, they will not be saved. If you reject Christ, you will not be saved. And that we must understand that. And not only that, there is a temporal, a real time, present time penalty for rejecting the love of the truth. We see that in verses 11 and 12. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those who reject God's love and the truth of God's love in both the atoning sacrifice of Christ, but also based on everything that God said in his word, will be rewarded with God's punishment in this life. They will experience punishment. They will experience the consequence of rejecting God and his love. And one of those punishments, it says, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now we need to understand what the word of delusion means here. There's two definitions. One is a belief that is not true. So if I believe that tablecloth down there is orange, is it right or wrong? Is it true or false? It's false. It's black. By every normal convention, at least today, they may change it tomorrow. But right now, by every normal convention, that is black. But if I believe that's orange. And if you don't believe it, it's because you're a bigot. You know, you're a color bigot. No. So if you believe something is false, then that's a delusion. Or it's a false idea or belief that is caused by mental illness. There are mental illnesses that cause people to be deluded. You know, schizophrenia, maybe one of them. Would that be right? Schizophrenia. They believe things that are just not true. And it's because something is misfiring in their brain causing them to do that. You know, for example, the idea that a baby in the womb is nothing more than a clump of cells is a false idea. It is delusion, and it needs to be treated as such. You cannot take a divinely created image bearer of God and refer to it as something that is innocuous, that is not important, that is okay to discard as if it were garbage. That's wrong. A mental disorder would be a man who believes he is a woman. Okay, that is a delusion. That could be caused by mental disorder. It could be caused by deception, lots of other things. There's a medical term for it. Gender dysphoria. It's an idea that you do not believe you are the gender that you were assigned at birth, even though all science for thousands of years has recognized the reality that there are two genders, male and female, and a male is always a male and a female is always a female, and you cannot do anything scientifically to change that. You can change the body, you can surgically alter, you can do hormone therapy. It will not change the reality that if you go into the DNA, that man is still a man, no matter what else you do to him. But if you believe it, then you have this delusion. You're deluding yourself. In its essence, you're either believing a lie or you're lying to yourself to believe this delusion. Now, our culture has denied God. It has rejected God's love. It has rejected his truth. And as a consequence, they're experiencing a strong delusion. that they are, that they, that God is sending this strong delusion upon them. If you reject me, God says, then I'm gonna make it so that you believe the lie as punishment. Because what happens when you believe the lie? When you believe the lie, you experience the consequence of believing that lie. You experience the pain in your body, the suffering that is associated. God ultimately is trying to humble them to the point where they repent and turn to him so that he can save them. But if you reject God and his love, then there's always going to be a price to pay. There's a consequence to doing that. And so many things we see going on in our culture are that. They are the reality that our culture, many in our culture, have become deluded. They have the strong delusion that they believe something that is false is true. And so they are acting as if it is true, and they're doing it in some cases very aggressively, where if you don't believe their lie as truth, then you are the problem. When in fact, it's because they are living in within the strong delusion that comes from rejecting God and his truth. God doesn't promote lies. He doesn't make people lie, but he will not stand in the way. As a matter of fact, he will encourage, go ahead. If that's what you want to believe, go do it and experience the consequence of that. Sadly, not only do they experience the consequence of it, but everyone around them experiences the consequence of it as well. And even though they've sold themselves to that deception, to the lie, we as believers are called to be vessels of God's love to them. You might be, you know, we might think to ourselves, well, I'm just gonna. Okay, you know, they're caught up in the delusion. Go, live that lie. But God doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to love them in whatever way he would direct us to do that. And according to his truth and his word, we are to love them, to be vessels of love and light and truth. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world," Jesus speaking to his disciples. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Who? To all who are in the house, even those who do not want the light, do not believe in the light, to all who are in the house. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Those to whom God has sent the strong delusion because they've rejected him, they've rejected his love, they've rejected his truth, those who are living within this strong delusion need to see the light of Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to see it is through the people of God, through his people. And so we've got to let that love shine. Remember that, you know, most people aren't going to accept that. Matter of fact, they're going to hate it. They're going to run away from it. They're going to resist it. They're going to fight against it. Because they love the darkness too much to turn away from it. They love the darkness. The Bible tells us that's the reason why people walk in darkness, often because they love it. They love that darkness. But never forget, you were once in the darkness. You were once walking in darkness. You, at one point in your life, before you received Jesus Christ, loved the darkness. But somebody let their light shine into your life. And because they did, you were saved out of that darkness, and you're now in the light. So we don't know. We don't know whose light, whose darkness we can bring a light into, and they will respond. That's not our business. You know, the lamp's job is not to decide who the light falls on. The lamp's job is just to shine. And that's what we're to do as well. And regardless of whether they'll receive it or not, regardless of whether they're going to try to snuff it out, we are to walk in the light, because someone might escape that strong delusion and might come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and be saved for all of eternity, to be able to walk in the truth. Amen? Pastor Randy, you're up, brother.
You know, Pastor Rick talks about walking in the light, and we need to do that. We also need to share the light verbally. It's so important to be not only a witness by our actions, but by our words, because people are touched by what we do and say. And it's so important, and that we're doing that with our grandkids, our kids, and anybody that comes into contact, because you never know who you're going to have an influence on, and that's essential, right? Okay.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.